Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica!
Hey girl, hey.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? How you feeling today?
You know what? Someone really special to me made my day today. And that person is you. So y'all, let me tell y'all what Shelby did today that literally made my day. So my mom actually, she called me and she was like, I have some mail for you. And I was like, what is it? She was like, oh, you got something from Popeyes. I was like, Popeyes? I was like, are they promoting something? They got some new biscuits. Like, what is going on? Because I love, love, love Popeyes. Open the mail. And it's a whole gift card from my friend, my dearest friend, Shelby. And it was like, to Erica, like, just because you're a great person. I love you. And I was like, oh my gosh, girl, a whole $25. I'm going to Popeyes this weekend, okay? So thank you so much, friend.
You are welcome, friend. So y'all got to know that me and Erica love Popeyes, and we used to go to Popeyes together at least every week or every other week together for them to get our order wrong and to argue with us. But I also need to talk to Popeyes management, because why can't I send an e-gift card? Why do I have to send a physical gift card? I don't know who's in charge, marketing, operations, the VP. Somebody give me their number, because that is not making it easy. But anyway, I'm so glad you like it, friend. I'm glad that it made your day. I hope your chicken and your biscuit, like, just bring you so much joy. I love that for you. But, y'all, Erica, like I tell you all the time, Erica is an amazing friend. Erica goes out of her way just to be an amazing person and to check on me and to do all of the things. And so I was like, I'm going to pull an Erica on Erica. So that's what I did.
I appreciate that so much. Get y'all a friend like Shelby. How is your heart today, friend?
It's good. I am honestly just excited about life. I'm one of those people that, like, if you really know me, you know that, like, I give like 100% in everything that I give. But, like, also when I do it, do you ever just be like giving your all and doing the best you can do? And then you'd be like, oh, am I doing enough? Am I good enough? And so today, we don't talk about work a lot, but, like, today at work, I gave a presentation and I've been working on a lot of things. And today, like, I just got so many compliments on the work that I've been doing from, like, some higher ups, like people that are higher up in the company. And that made my heart so happy, because obviously it's not about the recognition, but when people recognize that you are literally showing up and doing your best and giving you your flowers, that just warmed my heart. And I feel like that was God's reminder to me that, like, girl, you're doing a good job. Just keep doing what you're doing. So, yeah. So, I'm really good and just happy. Yeah.
I love that for you, friend. Congratulations. You deserve it.
So, before we get into our question of the day, a couple things that Erica and I want to share. Okay. Just one thing, not a couple things. But one thing that Erica and I want to share is that we have something new coming up. And we're really excited to share. Do you want to share what it is, friend?
So from our Melanin fam that had probably started with us before we did a podcast, you probably know that we had a YouTube channel. So we are going to revamp our YouTube channel. We will have a brand new YouTube series or show on our channel, All Things Melanin TV. It's going to just be a mini series. It is going to be different from our podcast. Our podcast is not going anywhere. We're going to keep it right where it is. But I'm just really excited for us to get back in front of our Melanin fam on the screen, so you can see a little bit more of our interaction with each other and just talk about realistic topics. What can you add to it?
Yeah, I think obviously everything you said, but I'm really excited for us to just dive deeper on certain topics that are authentic and relatable to us and what we're going through. But I'm really happy for people to be able to physically see our dynamic. And I pray that people fully feeling heard, seen, loved, inspired, and motivated in all of the fields. We are planning to come for that to come to you towards fall or winter 2024. So, like Erica said, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're gonna link it in the description, but we're just really excited to share, and make sure you're following us across all social media, because we'll start dropping teasers, we'll start dropping hints, and then obviously subscribe on YouTube and hit the notification button so you can stay on the know. And we're just really excited to continue to expand all things melanin and just give you different forms of content that is really near and dear to our heart.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Yay. Okay. So now that we got that out the way, it's time for the question of the day, which is okay, this one is, I think this is a good one. I say that every time, but it is, but all of them are good ones. But anyway, if you could create one universal law that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
At one point in a period of time, we did have to follow this universal law of social distancing. Can we bring that back? Like personal space. Like, why am I in the line and you standing too close to me? Like, let me ring up my stuff without you breathing down my neck. But no, for real. One thing that I feel like should always be a universal law is something that I'm personally am becoming more intentional about doing is when I'm interacting with strangers, when I'm out and about just doing everyday things, is giving a compliment. And it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be like you overdoing it, but basically, a compliment is a way of showing kindness and showing people that you see them. I feel like this world and people, it's just so heavy. It's so weird. It's just a lot going on. And people don't feel heard. People don't feel seen. People want to be feel loved or feel like someone sees them and cares about them. So for me, I feel like the way to spread love to people or to show like I see you is spreading kindness. And so an example would be like if you're just in the grocery store and you're in the checkout line and you like someone's sneakers or nails or the way they did their hair today, or like just asking them simply, how are you doing today? A lot of people just say that out of like formality, like, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Like, you're not really interacting in a way where you actually care to answer the question. So for me, I would say that universal law is spreading kindness by giving a compliment. You can easily do that. You can do that just, it takes 5 seconds, not even 5 seconds. And what I've learned by me just intentionally doing it, for example, when I'm at the gym and I'm working out and at the end of the exercises, I will go up to somebody and fist bump them and tell them good job. Knowing good well, I'm breathing hard. I can't catch my breath. I'm struggling, but I'm gonna go up and encourage somebody else and just be like, oh, good job. And what I've noticed is back full circle. So for me, if I give somebody a compliment, it comes back to me. I've noticed that people have complimented me more than I have really experienced before. And it is true that what goes around comes around, and that includes kindness too. So that's what I would say. What would be your universal law, friend?
First of all, I love that, friend, because I just think that we need more kindness, more love, and more compassion in the world. And it's so interesting that when you do give people a compliment or you're extra kind, have you noticed that people are actually like taken aback by it? Like they're actually shocked. So I approve this message. That should be a universal law. My universal law would be universal free healthcare, because I feel like, when you actually just sit down and you look in the world, like I feel like the state of our healthcare system is just kind of wild. And I feel like if people had universal healthcare, people could be happier, people could be healthier, and they could live longer. I think a lot of people don't get cared for or go seek professional help because they do not have the funds or the money to pay for it. They don't want to know the answer, and they just don't know. They just don't have the means. And that makes me so sad. I've been on this whole like health kick, like mind, body, and soul. Like, yeah, working out and being the best that I can working out, but like your mind, body, and soul. And I just think in order to be the happiest and healthiest version of yourself, you should be able to go and get checked out and not have to pay an arm and a leg for it. So that's what I would say, universal health care, because I want everybody to be happy and healthy and live long, beautiful lives.
I love that, friend. I would love to see that as well. So Let's go ahead and get started with today's show. Our first segment of the day is dating and relationships. So today's topic is dating in today's society. Child can be difficult and scary. So, Shelby, how do you date in a way that is safe, but also fun and comfortable for you when getting to know somebody new? What are some safety tips?
Yeah, I love this. I think first of all, like a lot of people are taking like the fun out of dating. Like I feel like dating is supposed to be fun. Like when you get with your person, you want to just be like, yeah. Like you just don't want to be like drab or anything. And I feel like first of all, we have to put the fun back in dating. And a part of putting the fun back in dating is dating people that you like, dating people that you're actually attracted to or interested in, and dating people that you align with. So make sure when you're dating that you're going and doing something fun, something that you enjoy, and honestly just taking the time to get to know them. I always say trust your body, trust your instincts, because your body, if you're in tune with your body and you're in tune with what you want and you know what you want, your instincts is going to tell you right off the bat, like, oh, he's it or he's not it. So that's the first thing. I think we got to get back into making dating fun and not making it such, not necessarily a chore, but like trying to make every person the right person. Because when you try to make every person the right person, if that's not your person, then you're just hanging on to a person longer than you should. I think when you date somebody, even if they're not the person, that they teach you something or they remind you of something. So now every time when I do date someone and it doesn't work out, I just try to take the lesson that I can from their interaction and I charge it to the game and I keep it pushing. I think when it comes to safety tips, I think that you have to be very careful about what you share and how fast you share it. I am, you can ask Erica this. You can ask some of my homeboys this. Like, I am not one of those people to really tell you where I work. I may tell you what I do, but I won't tell you where I work. And I won't tell you where I live or where I stay. Baby, if I tell you I live in Plano, I do not live in Plano. You got to really, really know me for me to tell you the truth. But I think just some safety tips for me when I'm dating, especially if it's somebody that I don't know or I'm not familiar with. Like, you know, I do talk to them and I pretty much fact check everything they say. Baby, if you tell me you are a product manager at Microsoft, I'm going right on to LinkedIn. And I'm gonna see, does that match up? And if it doesn't match up, I got questions. I'm gonna search your social media if I know it. And honestly, it's not necessarily to be nosy, but it's kind of just to see if I can kind of gauge like how you are, what do you like to do, and just kind of your overall aura, energy. Like I just kind of want to get like a good idea of that. For instance, like if you go to my social media page, you're gonna see me chilling out with my friends, eating, traveling, or having a good time. Like, I'm a happy girl. You're gonna see black girl joy. Do I see black boy joy when I go to your page? I wanna know. Or do I see you liking pictures of big booty random girls? That's a red flag for me. Sorry, that's not a safety tip, but that's what I do. I think the second part is just telling somebody like where you're going and who you're with. I'll use Erica as an example because I be bringing Erica into my stuff. So here we go. So a while back, a couple years ago, I went on a date with a guy that I did not personally know. I knew people that knew him, but I didn't personally know him. And so I was really excited about the date. The man was that baby is fine. He's still fine to this day, but he needs a little holy oil put on him because I hope he's gotten better and worked on himself. Anyway, another wrench y'all to ask for. Went on the date. I called Erica and I was like, "Hey, friend, I am going to meet him." And she was like, "Oh, okay, cool." I was like, "This is the Wingstop that I'm going to. This is what he looks like. This is the time that I'm there. I'll text you when I get there and I'll text you when I leave." And I text her his information, like any information that I can find, I texted it her. And y'all may say that's a little overkill, but if something had happened, Erica could have led him to the body. She knew everything. And I think it's important. I say that to say, like, I'm laughing, but I think it's important that somebody knows where you are and somebody has the details. I think a lot of times we want to be secretive and see where things go. No, at least one person needs to know where you are at all times, and you need to be in communication with that person. And I think having maybe a code word with that person, like, "Hey, I'm safe," like a code word for "you're safe" or a code word for "girl, get me the hell up out of here," is going to be helpful. And so when I got there, I text Erica. I was like, "Hey, girl, I'm here. It's fine." And then when I left, I said, "Hey, girl, I left. I'm leaving." And I let her know where I was, and then I was at home. I think letting a friend know where you are, I think also being very wary and careful of the type of information that you share, because a lot of people give women, flack for being gold diggers, and there are women gold diggers. I don't know none because ain't none of my friends none. We are hard, we working, dependable women. But we forget that men leech on our gold diggers too. Did we not hear the Risa Tisa story, Who the Fuck Did I Marry, and all the other countless stories on Dateline, on Snapped, on all of the things? And so I think it's very important to be careful of what you share and to do it in a way that you feel comfortable, because sometimes people will not like you and leech onto you, and then that will impact your safety. I think the other thing is just to trust your instincts and to be upfront about what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. And then if that person is not cool with that, then that's not your person. I think another safety tip is, like, I know back in the day and now people be like, oh, pick me up for the first day. No, I don't want you to know where I live. Like, always, I would say if you can, like, meet the person there. And if you can't, if you don't have transportation, pick somewhere close and Uber there. I think it's really important just to be in control of your environment and to be able to get up and leave. I think the most important safety tip is to try to put yourself in a situation and around people where you're seen, where you're heard, and you feel comfortable, but also if you need to, where you can make a quick escape or you can get away, or at least at minimum, people are there and maybe they can aid you in getting away. But those would be my biggest safety tips. What about you? What do you say?
I literally have everything listed that you said on my thing, on my notes, but I will chime in on the women's intuition. Like, y'all, listen to your gut. If something feels off, it most likely is off. Like, there's nothing wrong with feeling excited and a little bit of nerves because you're like, anticipating meeting this person. But one thing I would suggest is before you meet, I'm hoping that you have had many conversations with this person on the phone and then FaceTime. I feel like FaceTime is important before you go, so that way you can already feel a little bit of comfort before you're just blindly meeting somebody. You know what I mean? Because, obviously people can be whoever they want to be via text, but FaceTiming that person at least a couple of times before you actually meet up, talking on the phone. For me personally, that makes me feel more comfortable and more excited to actually hang out with you in person versus we're just texting a few times and then I'll show up and meet you somewhere. A very important thing that Shelby touched on was meeting in a public place. That is very smart. So there will be people around you, but also in a public place, like if you can go out in like the daytime, that would be a better choice than somewhere super late at night. Like if he's trying to the club at night, like I just wouldn't suggest that. I don't feel like that's the safest first time meeting and hang out with someone. I just don't think it's smart to do that. Or, I mean, also, if he is asking you to go back to his place afterwards, now look, we all grown, get it how you live. But I would say, do not do that. Like, do not be so accessible to where you're just going to his place or he trying to come back to your place at night. That's just a little too soon. And then I think Shelby, you had already said this, but have your own way there. That way, drive your own car, have your friend drop you off or something. Like have your own way there to where you're not relying on him to take you back and forth to wherever you need to go. And if there's ever an instance where you do start to feel a little bit uncomfortable on the date, or you're just kind of like, yeah, I ain't feeling this, like don't be rude about it because people are weird and they don't take rejection well. So do not like be rude about wanting to leave or just not wanting to do the next activity you had planned or whatever the case may be. I would suggest you do speak up, but be polite about it and then just leave at your own leisure. You would be able to leave at your own leisure because you have your own way there. I think the code word that you mentioned, Shelby, is really, really smart. That way, that means that you should have let somebody know that you have that where you're going and who you are with, so that if you need to run to the bathroom real quick, you could just be like, hey, friend, I need you to call me real quick because, and say it's an emergency. Like, it just depends on the situation. Like, these are just different ideas, but I feel like you would know by your woman's intuition if something is on or off with somebody. But then also tell a friend or your mama or somebody your location. Share your location. I share my location with mama with my mom right now, and I don't be nowhere but the gym, grocery store, and church. Like, but I still share my location because you just never know. So I think, dating, I really like what you said about bringing the fun back into dating, but also just protecting yourself, being aware. And another thing I would suggest is if y'all are out at a social event and he's going to get y'all drinks, make sure you going with him to get them drinks. I'm just saying, if this is somebody that you just met, you ain't really know him that well, watch him pour them drinks or watch him go get those drinks. It's just necessary these days. So be safe, ladies. That's all I have to add to that in the dating and relationships. All right, so let's keep it moving with our journey segment. So this segment is when Shelby and I will discuss building our brand, all things melanin, or how it is working in the corporate world, things like that. So for today, we are going to talk about our brand. So for our brand, there are so many moving parts and so many things that need to get done. So Shelby, let's talk through how we're able to work so well together and keep our brand running while maintaining our 9 to 5s.
You can go first, friend.
Okay. So I think that we work really well because we play to each other's strengths. I think that we both can identify what I'm stronger at doing and what Shelby is stronger at doing. And we're both creative and we're both passionate and we're both aligned with what we want this brand to be. So that's number one. Like, yes, we are friends in real life. We always say that, but you can't work with all your friends, okay? So just like you can't travel with all your friends, you can't work with all your friends. Love y'all, but can't work with you. So for example, Shelby is stronger at writing. She's stronger at social media engagement. She is great at these creative ideas. So that is her realm of running our brand. For me, mine would be graphic design, content, creative ideas as well. We both are great at podcasts, writing the subjects and things like that, and content creators. So I think what would work well for any brand is if you play for this, play to each other's strengths. But then also, we are very intentional with our meetings. We have quarterly meetings where we sit down and we schedule our content. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this easier? How are we going to work smarter, not harder? And then we also, this is really big too, we also have a mutual respect for life when life be happening. Like, if we know that we have something scheduled, but then something in life happens, we have that respect for each other where it's like, hey, girl, I can't do this today. I can't record today, or I'm not going to have this done today because life is a real thing. So it's not like we were like, girl, well, you didn't have this done. Da, da, da. Like, it's never that at all. We always have that mutual respect at the end of the day. Like, look, if you can't show up at your best, that is okay. We will reschedule. We will do it another time. So I think that really helps us balance as well because we will schedule in breaks. Like, this whole podcast season has been great, but we about to take a break. So that's always important as well. So I think with those, like, the breakdown of each of our roles plays to our strengths, and then being intentional with our meetings and having that mutual respect. What else would you add to that, friend?
I love all of those, obviously. And I think just to kind of add a little bit more context to what you're saying, or just like not even context, but like pre-story. So when Erica and I first started out, we were both trying to do everything and all things. And so I think it's important to note that because, like Erica said, like now we play to each other's strengths. One of the things that really inspired Erica and I to create our brand is because, like, I think you've heard me say this before, and I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it. And is that, like, one thing that I love about us is that we allow each other to operate in our zone of genius. And even if it's not our zone of genius, we still give one another the space and opportunity and the floor and the creativity to share ideas and to do all of the things. Like Erica said, Erica is basically like our creative director, creative designer. Erica also is the finance department. Because listen, and Erica is the realistic department. Because y'all, listen, I have a spline with the birds. So Erica was like, girl, you know, you can't do that. That's not even realistic. And even if it is, we don't have the money for that. But I'm joking, but I'm not. But I say that to say is that, like, when Erica and I first started out, we were trying to be all things to all people and we were burning out. And so when we took a step back and we realized, like, oh, okay, like, you're like, for instance, Erica is amazing at creative things in general. Erica, not only does Erica do all of the graphic design for us, but she does all the graphic design across all of our social media. Erica is the one that keeps our website up to date. She is the one that created it in general, and she stays on top of our finances and she makes sure that they are good. And so I think by us just taking time back to allow one another to operate in our strength and to be realistic has allowed us to navigate working well together, as well as holding down a 9 to 5. And then, just to piggyback off something else you said, the last thing I would say is that in addition to our meetings, Erica have and I have started doing something a little different that we have not done in a while. So first off, make sure you're following us across social media, because we have changed up our content and we're sharing different types of content, and I'm really proud of it. I'm always proud of the content that we do, but we're getting back to providing resources, to highlighting people, and to really just building a community to highlight people, to share resources, to be authentic or relatable, and all those things. So at the end of last year, in one of our planning meetings, and it's so interesting how work can correlate and help you. That's another thing. Like, whatever you're doing in your 9 to 5, like, take that knowledge and that information and that infrastructure that you've built in those systems and transport it to your business if it makes sense. And I say that because I operate in my job with marketing in general. I always have a yearly plan, but I always work in quarters, Q1, Q2, Q3. And so one of the suggestions that came up, I was like, hey friend, like, what if we planned out everything for Q1? Like, we scheduled everything, we got everything done. So we did a free for all for ideas, and we came up with new, beautiful, great ideas. We split the work down the middle, and we basically were like, hey, let's just finish this before January 1st so that we can, be on a 2 week hiatus and we can come back fresh. And for us, that really worked. So now we are working quarters in advance with getting our content. And that has helped us dramatically because it allows us to engage with our community more. It allows us to have more just freedom and relax and not being stressed about who's posting what. So I would say, definitely, in addition to everything that Erica said, is just operate in your zone of genius, communicate with your business partner. And if you don't have one and it's just you, yourself, and I, like, if you can outsource something, outsource something. And if you can't, just do the best you can do until you can do that. And just have fun with it. I think that one thing that we've learned in our brand is that, like, it's trial and error. Some things work, some things don't. But either time, you learn, you evolve, and you keep it pushing. So I would say that's how we're able to work so well together. But I think definitely the planning, everything in advance and scheduling things, allows us to do it in a way that doesn't interfere with our regular 9 to 5, because that pays the bills, if we're being honest.
Yes, I love the honesty on that. It does. But you wrapped that perfectly in a bow, friend. Loved how you ended that. So let's keep it moving to our mentor moment. So this is when we're going to read a listener's letter and then we will give our advice on it. So the letter says, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I need your advice. I'm in my 30s, no children, dating, doing fairly well for myself, and just living life. I've noticed that my friendships are all at different crossroads. I have a solid group of friends, but we're all at different points in our lives. Some are single, some are married with kids, some are traveling the world, some are focused on their career, and some are balancing family drama and so on. I feel like I'm not as close or connected to my friends anymore, and that makes me sad. We hardly hang out or talk anymore, and that bothers me. Any advice on how to navigate this season of friendship and reconnect with my friends?"
This is such a good question, but also such a relatable question, because I think the older that we get, I'll speak for myself. I think the older that I get, I feel like I go in and out of being really connected to some of my friends and being really close to my friends. And it's not beef and it's not anything that's happening. I think it's just the evolution of life. But one thing that I will say is you have to be very careful about assuming why you're not close to your friends or assuming what's going on. I would say if I were you, that I would reach out to my friends and I would try to talk to them and I would try to have a conversation with them. Now, if you reach out to them and they are standoffish or they, don't seem to want to talk or hand out or hang out, I think that that gives you your answer. But I think the beauty of reaching out is that sometimes your friends may be going through things that they have not shared with you. Maybe your friend is going through something and they just literally don't have the capacity that they used to. And then particularly if they're married or they have children, or maybe they're just going through a tough time in life. When life kicks your ass, it is hard to want to text back or to want to pick up the phone or to even want to plan something. So I think it's important to give your friend grace and to pray for your friend. But I think if you think that your friend is being acting funny and you don't feel as connected, I think sometimes that's a normal thing, but I think that you should reach out to your friend and try to figure out what's going on. And don't come at them like, oh my gosh, like you're acting funny. What's going on? We're not connected. But genuinely reach out to them and try to connect and ask them how they're doing. Ask them what's going on and try to catch up like you would, normally. And I think that that will give you the clue if your that that friend is, just acting funny or in the season where they're not being a friend, good friend, or if they're in a season where they're literally busy and they're literally tired, or maybe they're just going through a tough time. And I think that sometimes also when friends are in ruts or they're going through something, like I think sometimes like maybe you have to reach out and extend the olive branch and it's on them whether they take it or not. And I say that because in the past, I have assumed that, oh, this person isn't being a good friend, or oh, this person is acting funny, when in reality, that person had a lot going on and they were dealing with a lot in life, or they had a capacity. So, anytime I think that somebody's acting funny, I literally reach out to them and I try to see how they're doing. And then I'm able to see, oh, okay, nothing's wrong. Like, it's not that they're acting funny, it's just that they're busy or they're tired, or they have this going on. Or, oh, okay, they are funny. They are acting funny. I get the message, like, let me back off. I'll share this and I'm gonna pass it to Erica. I was talking to Erica a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember this, friend, but I remember exactly where we were. I was talking to Erica about something and I was telling her about a situation and basically how I just felt weird about it. And I was just kind of like, just not necessarily sad, but I was down about it. And Erica looked me in my face and she was like, friend, everybody's not going to friend like you, friend. And she basically was like, that does not make them a bad friend, but like you have to find a way to flow and accept how they friend. And I think after she told me that, I was able to not internalize it, but I was able to be like, okay, because she's right. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I will text you randomly out of the blue. I will tell you how I feel. I will send you memes. I will make plans for us and tell you later. Like, that's just my personality. And I say that to say that, like, you may be one of those people like I am that loves to stay in touch and to do all of those things, and that not, may not be your friend's personality. So I think that's a thing to consider. But also, I'm a really big proponent of if you need something from your friend and they're not providing it to you, but they're able to, I think it's important to bring those things up and to talk to them and have a discussion about it. And I think you can gauge your relationship or how to move next based off that response. Just like you will tell that man how you feel, you need to tell your friend how you feel, because we give not y'all give men 1,001 chances. So why you won't give your friend two or three or a couple thousand? So that's what I would say. I would say check in with your friend before you make any assumptions. And then I think just even letting your friends know that like you want to reconnect and you want to hang out. I'll give you an example and I'll pass it to Erica for real this time. I have a friend and we have been really good friends, best friends since the 7th grade. And my friend is married. She has two beautiful children. Her husband is super cool. Like anytime we hang out, He genuinely does not care. He actually loves when he hang out because that means he gets to go do what he wants to do too eventually or the next day. And I had assumed that like my friend is acting funny. She doesn't want to hang out with me. She doesn't want to talk to me. And I didn't talk to her for months because I felt some type of way. She reached out to me on my birthday and she wished me happy birthday. And she was adamant about like, I want to take you out to eat. I want to hang out. I want to catch up. I didn't think she was serious. But anyway, we ended up hanging out. And come to find out, she literally had just been swamped with being a wife and being a mom. And so when I realized that, I was like, girl, this has been your girl since the 7th grade. And you didn't even give her grace when she's giving you grace. And so ever since then, I've been giving her grace, but I've been giving myself grace. And so even like when I reach out to her, like I'll double text her sometimes. She's like, girl, I see you. She's like, let me figure out the babysitter situation. But she is still a present friend. She's married. She has kids. She works full time. She does all the things. But if I call her, she picks up. If I text her, she texts me right back. If I Snapchat her, she Snapchats me back. And I think that sometimes you just have to reconnect with your friend, and to get in a good place or to see what's going on. Okay, for real. What do you think?
No, I love all of that advice. And I really love when you said, give your friends grace. I think that that's what this really is about. Obviously, calling and texting to see if you could have a conversation just to check in on them, that is the first step of order so that you're not assuming, oh, she acting funny or she did it, she got a man now, so she don't talk to me. Like, don't get all into that until you talk to your friend first. Because it is important to give your friend grace. And the advice I had given to Shelby that one time about, friends have love languages too. They offer different love languages. Not all of your friends friend the same. So know what kind of friend you're dealing with, right? That is a real thing. But I feel like a lot of us expect the same way from our friends as we are to them. And that's just not realistic at all times, especially as we grow older and life be life and people get married, people having babies, people starting businesses, people buying homes. Like, it's just a lot. So it is okay when the dynamic changes. So don't get all afraid and like weary, like, oh, we ain't friends no more. Because honestly, a genuine friendship, if you have not talked in weeks or months or whatever, when you come together, it should be genuine and it should feel like you picked up where you left off. And if it doesn't feel like that, then something is forced. But genuine friendships, no matter how long you haven't spoken, just because life has gotten in the way of things, it should always come back to the core of y'all's friendship. So obviously, dynamics changes. Seasons change. So, yes, have that conversation just to check in, but don't keep having conversations. Okay. If your friend is also not giving you grace, then you might have a different issue there. But what I'm saying is, you should still be able to connect with your friends when you do get some time to get together, have a quick FaceTime call or phone call or just text chat. So, if you're not able to connect, then like I said, that's a different issue. And honestly, you can just simply be outgrowing some friendships. A lot of us want to hold on to the friendships we've had for 30 years. And sometimes that's not the case all the time. But you just have to use your discernment on that. But whatever you do, do not force it. Okay. Be intentional about trying to even maybe schedule a girl's day. Like, you can maybe just get together and plan it out. Like, my friend group, we got to plan it out. Like, we got to plan it months in advance. But get something on a calendar to plan a girl's day. Maybe it's a brunch. Maybe it's a girl's night in. Maybe it's a game night. Maybe it's happy hour. Because I find when we plan things like that and it's been a minute, I feel so refreshed after for happy hour or brunch or whatever it is. So maybe be the person to initiate that friend date. Friends need dates too, not just you and your man. So, first, if you have taken the initiative to reach out, if you have taken initiative to plan something and go places and it still doesn't work out, then I feel like something else is an issue there. So my advice would be at least do your part, but don't force it. Whatever you do, don't force it. And the friends that are really your friends, they're gonna show up for you, they're gonna be there, y'all gonna and it should be all good. So that would be my advice. So if you have a question out there that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we are going to leave you with words of encouragement.
Okay. Our words of encouragement come from Proverbs 23, 4 through 5. And they says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. I like this Bible verse simply because I feel like it reminds me of the different seasons that I've been in my life. And there have been seasons in my life where I felt literally like I was in a dark tunnel and I could not see the light. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a season of your life where you're doing the best that you can do, where you're putting one foot in front of the other, where you're giving 100%, but it seems like there's a dark cloud hanging over you, or it seems like things just aren't working out for you? And if you have, I have too. I've been there. I can relate. And one thing that I've learned is that every season that I've been in my life is a season that God has already deemed that was necessary for me. I feel like in those seasons, in my waiting season or in my valley season, I was supposed to learn something. But I feel like a lot of times in those seasons, God strips me of a lot of things that I think I needed to be successful and accomplish things so that I could rely solely on him. But even being on the other side and now being in the light, when I look back on those seasons, I see how God carried me. I see how God kept me. I see how God protected me. I saw how he watched over me, how he loved me, and how he cared for me. Like, even when I did not feel like I had it all together or I had everything that I needed, my cup still ran over with blessings. God covered me. He made sure that I had a safe place to stay. He made sure that I could still pay all my bills. He surrounded me with people who loved me, encouraged me, and supported me. He provided me with people who gave me grace. He protected me from additional evil and things happening. He really just made sure that all of my needs were met and even some of my wants. And so I say that to say that, like, if you're in a season and it's not going where you want, it's not going how you want it to be, first of all, trouble don't ask long. Trouble does not last always. Like, it will come to an end in the light, and you will be able to see the light. But one thing I'm going to encourage you to do, or two things that I'll encourage you to do that really helps me in my valley season, is one, to journal. I think we underestimate journaling because a lot of times when we actually just write down our feelings and we get it all out there, you feel a little bit better and you feel a little bit lighter. And I think it's also a testament that when you go back, when you're in the light on the other side, you can see how far God brought you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I would definitely say to pray. And I'm not talking about those little prayer like, God protect me, God cover me, God, like, not like a surface level prayer. I'm talking about like a deep prayer. And if all you can say is, God help me, and that's sincere, then that's all you can say. But I think getting in relationship and having intimacy and actually having a conversation and talking to God and not telling God what you think he wants to hear, but honestly spilling out your heart so that God can cleanse you and direct you. And help you. And then one more thing I said too, but I'll say one more. The second thing, the third thing is, I, over the past 2 years, have been operating on gratitude being the foundation for abundance. God will not bless you with more if you're not thankful for what you have. I don't care if it's a little, I don't care if it's $5, I don't care if it's 1 cent. How do you steward over what you have right now? And so, one thing that I would encourage you to do is make this a habit. When you wake up every day, when you pray, start off with three things that you're grateful for. And before you go to bed, say three things that you're grateful for. When you make gratitude a habit, it improves your mood. And if you're having a bad day, name off five things, name off six things, name off 10 things, name off however many things you need to change your mood or to be grateful. Because no matter where you are and no matter what's going on, you can always find something to be thankful for. And when you're thankful with the little, God can bless you with more. That's what I would say. What do you think, friend?
That was a whole word. So I'm just gonna add just a little spice on top. When it talks about the darkest valley, and we've all had that at some point in our lives, I feel like none of us will ever be able to avoid a dark valley, a storm, no matter if you have just accepted Christ, or if you've been rocking with him for your whole life, you will go through a storm, a darkest valley. It is not peaches and cream. Okay. So, but sometimes when you're in the darkest valley, you can't see nothing but the dark valley. You can't see anything but the storm. So, this Proverbs verse, it really brings me back to what I do. Like your suggestion was, what you do is journaling. I also, when I feel like I don't have the words to pray or the words to journal, I'll listen to worship music. I'll just put worship music on and I'll just sit there. I may just be crying, just tears rolling down my face. I may be sitting there with my arms folded. I don't know. I may be sitting there on my knees with my hands up. Like I worship music brings me to a place where I can feel God's presence. And sometimes when I don't feel his presence, I know he is always there. It says it in the verse, you are close beside me. And so when we think about that, it just reminds me that God is my, he's not going to just watch me go through this dark valley like, girl, I don't know what you're going to do about that. Like that is not God's character. So one of the worship songs, I feel like I always suggest a worship song lately in this season, but one is called He's a Keeper by Dietrich Haddon. And he literally sings this verse that we're talking about in that song. And basically, it just says, he is keeping you. So, as Shelby said before, that everything that you're going through is already written for you, it's already happening. God's not sitting up there like, oh, dang, I ain't see that coming. I ain't know they was going to send that bill. Like, no, he knows what's going, what is happening. You just have to walk it out. And when, if you think about it, when you're going through these dark valleys or things that you don't understand, why is this happening? It's actually God's opportunity to show you who he is in your life. So at that point, when Shelby said, you know, talk to God in an honest conversation, there's times I'm like, God, fix it. Now you're gonna have to fix it. I can't do anything about it. What you gonna do about it? Like you literally have to have that confidence within you that you know that God is going to come through for you. But what you have to do in order for that to happen is put it down so he can pick it up. And that's all I would add to that.
Well, if you didn't wrap that up and tie that with a bow, I don't know what. But anyway, we gonna pray ourselves on out. So here we go. Please close your eyes if you are not, and you are driving, sway with it. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you as almost as we know how. As we know how. First and foremost, I have to ask you for anything but to thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for each and every blessing that you assembled upon us today. Lord Jesus, we don't know what's on the hearts of our listeners, but we know that you do. We pray that you will give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, that you will cover them, that you will keep them, that you will bless them, and that you will make a way out of no way for them. We pray that you would bless their friendships and their romantic relationships. We pray that you would give them God's best because they deserve God's best. We pray that you would bless them on their journey, whether that's fight, whether that's on their career, whether that's on their business, or whether that's both, or whether that's both. We pray for financial abundance, productivity, and just success all around, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them on their faith journey. We pray that you would cover them and that you would keep them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.